Well, greetings, brethren. Welcome to another Wednesday night Bible study, where together we're studying the scriptures line upon line. God willing, we will continue in the book of Joshua. This time, we are going to cover chapter 19. Chapter 19 is basically Joshua is allotting the land to the seven tribes that remain. He was getting frustrated with them, like, why won't you go and take the land? And so he's now making sure that all of that land is allotted. Chapter 20 are the cities of refuge. Chapter 21 will be the cities that are Levitical cities, the cities that the Levites are to have. And then beginning in chapter 2, we begin to wrap up the book from chapters 22 to 24. So we're almost there. We're halfway through the count, I guess more than halfway now, through the count towards Pentecost. And I think we'll finish the book of Joshua around Pentecost, either just before or just after the day of Pentecost. I have some travel coming up, quite a bit actually, and I just need to manage how and when we do the weekly studies. So with that, let me go ahead and open with prayer. Then let me check to see who's checked in, and just to ensure that I am coming through loudly and clearly. Our loving Heavenly Father, we pause, as is our custom. Thank you so much, Father, for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for opening the Bible to us, of all the men and women and people on the earth, of all the people that have lived through the millennia. There are just so few that have been given this high honor, this distinct privilege of actually understanding how to put your word together, what is actually contained in the various books, and how all of the inspired word ultimately shows your faithfulness to covenant. We pray, Father, that you'll help us to be faithful to covenant. Covenant with our wives, our baptism covenant, that help us, Father, to be people of our word, so that we might be found worthy to be part of your eternal family, which is built upon your word. The whole creation is built upon your word. Help us to understand just how important it is the words that we speak be a reflection of our character. Thank you so much, Father. We pray now you'll continue to bless us as we work through this incredible book of Joshua. We ask this in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. All right, let's check in. Just make sure that I am coming through loudly and clearly. Audio and video are clear. Thank you so much, Pastor Murray. And again, thank you for continuing the count for us, keeping everybody in a good reflection. And it's just as we're going through the count, we can just slow down and spend a bit of time reflecting on God's purpose for us. I see Rosebud, I see you. Kay Feeder, welcome. Rose Petty, welcome. Nice to see you, all of you. And Dave and Deb are here as well, first online. Nice to see all of you. Chajaz, welcome. Bruce Ellis, welcome. It's just like a real getting to know everybody. One day we're all going to be together and in person. It'll be wonderful. Chajaz, welcome. Jeff Flanick is here. Welcome. Judy and Chuck, always here. Yes, halfway to the count to Pentecost. Let's just see here. Carlotta is here. Hello, Sister Carlotta. CGI Burlington, welcome. Pep Square, you made it. Rick Four, you made it. Welcome. JD is here. And Merlinine, greetings to all of you. Welcome. So happy to have you. It's such an encouragement to us when we see just brethren who just follow us faithfully every week for years. And here we are rounding out the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 19. We just got to get through this. There's not a lot for me to comment on, but it's 51 verses in this one chapter. So let me just, I didn't share my screen earlier. So I should have done that. Sometimes I have trouble sharing my screen. Hopefully this is not one of those times. So let's just see here if I can easily share my screen. Make the font a bit bigger And share screen. Let's hope this works. Sometimes it does right away. Other times there's a little bit of coaxing required. Let's see what we've got here. Okay. I think this is one of those times when a little bit of coaxing is required. Let's see what we can do. Okay, share screen. If I can't share screen, you'll have to look at me for the entire session. Let's see what we've got here. And I'm not seeing the screen to share. Okay, let's do it this way. No, I'm not seeing it. Oh, here it is. Does this work? Just confirm for me that you're able to see my screen. I'll just check here. I hope that works. I'll just wait for confirmation that you can see my screen. Perfect. Okay, so that works. You don't have to look at me for the whole session. All right, I want to start in Numbers chapter 26 before we get into Joshua 19, where Joshua is finalizing which tribes get what. And here God speaks to Moses. Jehovah spoke to Moses saying, unto these are all the different tribes, the land shall be divided for an inheritance according to the number of names. And so they've gone through and they know exactly who are the various tribes, the leaders in the various tribes, and they are now going to apportion the land to them. And God says to Moses, to many you shall give the more inheritance, and to few you shall give the less inheritance. To every one shall his inheritance be given according to those that were numbered of him. So basically what this is saying is, for the really big tribes, you're going to have to give them a lot of land. And the smaller tribes, you'll give them less land. So that's all of this accounting is going through, and this is the conclusion of the matter. Notwithstanding, the land shall be divided by lot. So even though the bigger tribes are to get more land and the smaller tribes are to get less land, that's the case. However, the land that they get will actually be divided by law. You're going to cast lots. So God is going to be involved in the decision of who gets what land. And there's going to be no disputing, nothing. It's just the call is the call, and the land you get is the land you get. So the land will be divided by lot. According to the names of the tribes of their fathers, they shall inherit. So the different tribes, the different clans are going to inherit different parts of the land. Okay. So that's just to remind us that the land is not being divided in equal strips. It's being divided by lot. And I think last time I showed you this map. Do you remember this map? And also you'll see whenever we do the introduction that you can see how much land Manasseh gets compared to Reuben, compared to Dan. You see how much land Judah gets. So they get land according to the size of their tribes. That is very different from Ezekiel. When we look at the land ultimately, how it's divided in the millennium, it's like everybody's just horizontal strips from east, west to east. And you know, the city, Jerusalem, the temple is in the middle here. Judah is immediately north. Benjamin is immediately south. And then the tribes spread out from there. And it seems like the closer you are to the temple, that is some sort of a recognition, some sort of a blessing there. And the further out you are, there's an issue there as well. But I just wanted to show that this is the ultimate division of the land for the tribes. This is sort of the provisional, going in immediately upon taking conquest of the land, but this is not the eternal division, that the land is eternally Israel's. But God is going to sort it out so that ultimately it's going to end up the way we see it is in Ezekiel. But for now, this is the way it was meant to be. I just want to say all of that to say this, that any teaching that, you know, we're going to heaven or we're going to be in the kingdom, but who gets what land doesn't really matter. That's all spiritualized away. And the kingdom is just for everybody now. It's just, God is just going to give it all to Gentiles and Jews don't matter anymore. This is all false teaching. This is not the gospel. The gospel is God's covenant faithfulness. And the covenant is not just about the people. It's also about the land. And God, when God speaks, he means what he says. And so ultimately this land, real estate, will be owned by Israel. And the Gentile nations will be blessed, obviously. And then there'll be the Jerusalem right in the center, the city of Jerusalem right in the center. Okay, let's go to Joshua 19. Joshua 19 and verse 1. Remember, God told Moses that the land will be distributed by lot and that the big tribes get more land. The second lot came forth to Simeon, even for the tribe. So we just know that Benjamin has just received their land. So Caleb was first, then Judah, then Benjamin, Ephraim, Judah, then Ephraim, then Benjamin, and now we're going to the rest of the tribes. And the second lot came forth to Simeon, even for the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families, or we would say clans. So if you say family, you might think nuclear family. These are big clans, sort of tribes within the tribes. And their inheritance was within the inheritance of the children of Judah. I wonder if we just go back to our map here and we see Judah and you see Simeon Judah. It's not, they don't have their own land. They're sort of engulfed inside Judah. Their inheritance was within. So Judah gets their inheritance and then Simeon gets his inheritance inside Judah. And they had their inheritance, and they had in their inheritance Beersheba or Sheba, and Molada, and Hazar Shual, Bala, and Ezem, and Eltolad, and Bethul, and Horma, and Ziklag, and Bethmar Kaboth, and Hazar Susa, and Bethlebaoth, and Sherohen, 13 cities. And their villages. But again, all of these cities that they get are inside Judah's territory. Ain, Ramon, and Ether, and Ashan, 4 cities, and their villages. And all the villages that were around about these cities, think of the villages sort of like suburbs around a major urban center, but more rural. And all the villages that were around about these cities, to Baal, Athbir, and again, you're always going to see the name of the god and then the particular region that that god rules over. So they didn't understand. It was hard for them to comprehend that Jehovah governs the entire universe. So the thinking back then, people were very spiritually minded. It's just that they thought that gods were regional. And so you'll see the name of the city and the god that rules over it. Ramath of the south. This is the inheritance of the tribes of the children of Simeon according to their families. And again, he just keeps repeating this. This is the third time now in 9 verses. Out of the portion of the children of Judah was the inheritance of the children of Simeon. In other words, Simeon didn't get their own distinct territory. They got territory that was really governed by the grace of Judah. Out of the portion of the children of Judah was the inheritance of the children of Simeon. For the part of the children of Judah was too much for them. So Judah got a lot of land and Simeon got part of that land. Therefore, the children of Simeon had their inheritance within the inheritance of Judah. Four times he says this. So I think that's significant. And I think we need to go back to the prophecy of Jacob regarding his children in the end time. And specifically, what did he say about Simeon and Levi? In Genesis 49 and verse 1, Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. So what is that? For Simeon, beginning in verse 5, Simeon and Levi are brethren. They have the same mother. They are instruments of cruelty. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not you into their secret. So they just have a propensity towards violence. You don't want to get entangled with them. Unto their assembly, mine honor, be not you united. This is the end time. You see, Jacob's on his way out. This is what he has to say about Simeon and Levi. We know that Levi will redeem themselves in the matter of Baal Peor. But here, this is what he has to say, that he doesn't want his honor tied to Simeon, nor Levi. For in their anger, they slew a man. And in their self-will, they dug down a wall. Cursed be their anger. Jacob was furious about this. He did not appreciate how they behaved. Cursed be their anger. And this was concerning the matter of Dinah, their sister. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce. And their wrath, for it was cruel. You know, we better get control of our tempers, because this is now the prophetic word, or what we call the performative word. He's cursing his own children. He's cursing his own children here. He's on his way out and he's putting a curse on them, all because of their anger. They couldn't control themselves. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce. And I think this should help us should remind us of the reflections with Pastor Gary and Pastor Murray regarding Peter's admonition around self-control. They lacked control. Their anger got the better of them. And look what happens. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. He just like, I can't believe you did this. And then he says, as a result of their inability to control their temper, here are the consequences. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. And that's exactly what we're seeing here, is Simeon is being divided within Jacob, or allotted inside Jacob. He's going to basically disappear within Judah. And Levi will be scattered. They won't have a particular lot of land. They're going to be scattered in Israel. And that was pronounced here when Jacob was on his way out. And so this is Joshua just reinforcing how Simeon's inheritance was not for them. They did not have it self-contained. It was within Judah. And so that was Simeon. Now we come to Zebulun. And again, what happens to Simeon is he just gets absorbed into Judah. And the third lot came up for the children of Zebulun, according to their families, and the border of their inheritance was unto Sarid. And their border went up toward the sea, and Marilah, and reached Dabasheth, and reached to the river that is before Jokneam, and turned from Sarid eastward toward the sun rising toward the border of Kisloth-Tabor, and then goeth to Dabareth, and goeth up to Japhia. And again, this is Zebulun. So Zebulun is up here, just north of Issachar. You can see Issachar, Zebulun, under Naphtali. So he's just explaining the borders of their land. And from there, passes on along the east of Gittahefer to Ittah Gazin, and goeth out to Ramon Methor, to Nea. And the border surrounds it on the north side to Hanathon, and the outgoings thereof are in the valley of Jiphthahel, and Katah and Nahalal, and Shimron, and Idalah, and Bethlehem, 12 cities within their villages. And again, I spoke on the last day about how these cities were sophisticated cities, and the Ammonites, the Canaanites were to be wiped out, and Israel was just to go in and inherit these goodly cities, cities that would do them good. But then God was worried that they would do them so much good and prosper them so much that they would forget their Lord, which is actually then what happened, even though they were warned. This is the inheritance of the children of Zebulun, according to their families, these cities with their villages. These are concrete cities, literally concrete cities. These are, you know, brick and mortar and sophisticated systems, and they were going in and inheriting all of this. This was not just symbolic. This was not theoretical. This is real inheritance according to the covenant. And the fourth lot came out to Issachar, for the children of Issachar, according to their families or their clans, big tribes within tribes, led by patriarchs. And their border was toward Jezreel, and Jeshuloth, and Shunem, and Hapharaim, and Shion, and Anaharath, and Rabith, and Kishion, and Abez, and Remeth, and Eganim, and Enhada, and Beth Pazez. And the coast reached to Tabor, and Shahazimah, and Beth Shemesh, and the outgoings of their border were at Jordan. 16 cities within their villages. And of course, whenever there's a river or body of water, that tends to be a natural boundary. So they got 16 cities and the villages that go with the cities. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Issachar, according to their families, the cities and their villages. And again, what Moses said was, if the tribe is smaller, they get smaller land. Bigger tribes will get more land at the time of inheritance. And the fifth lot came out for the tribe of the children of Asher, according to their families. And their border was Helkath, and Hali, and Beten, and Akshaph, and Alammelech, and Amad, and Mishael, and reached to Carmel westward, and to Shehor Libnath, and turned toward the sun rising to Beth Dagon, and reached to Zebulun, and to the valley of Jiphthahel, toward the north side of Beth Themek, and Neil, or Niel, and goeth out to Kabul on the left hand, and Hebron, and Rehob, and Hamon, and Cana, even unto the great Zidon. And then the coast turns to Ramah, and to the strong city Tyre. So this is what we call Lebanon today. So they're on the coast, which is great to be near water. And the coast turns to Hosa, and the outgoings thereof are at the sea from the coast to Akzib. So I think the tribes that are inland, the land is not going to be as great as those that are on the coast. And that's why it was so hard to get the coastal cities, because the Canaanites were not giving those up. They were fighting to the death and holding on to them. And that's where, of course, Goliath, he comes from the coast. And those were just very, very difficult to get a hold of that land. Uma also in Aphek and Rehob, and 20 and 2 cities with their villages. And I think I mentioned in the sermon, overall, it's more than 600 cities, sophisticated cities and villages that Israel went in and inherited. And they didn't have to build these cities, they just got to inherit them. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Asher, according to their clans, these cities with their villages. The sixth lot, so they're casting lots, and then who does it fall to? The sixth lot, so God is having a hand in this, came out to the children of Naphtali, even for the children of Naphtali, according to their clans. And their coast was from Heleph, from Alon, to Zaananim, and Adami, Nekeb, and Jabneel, unto Lakum, and the outgoings thereof were at Jordan. And then the coast turns westward to Asnoth Tabor, and goeth out from there to Hukok, and reaches to Zebulun on the south side, and reaches to Asher on the west side, and to Judah upon Jordan toward the sun rising. So they're very, very clear about who gets what land. And you'll remember that they, Joshua said, okay, you seven tribes that are remaining, give me a man from each of these tribes and go in and describe the land. I need to understand how it's situated. And now based on that description, I guess it was today, we just take our cell phones, take pictures and send them back. But they had to kind of write out descriptions so that Joshua could understand. And now he is apportioning the land. And the fence cities are Zidim, Zer, and Hamath. So these, again, reinforced cities that would be hard to take these cities, but God was with them. Rakath and Chinnereth, and Adamah, and Ramah, and Hazor, and Kadesh, and Edri, and En-Hazor, and Iron, and Migdalel, and Horem, and Bethanath, and Beth Shemesh, 19 cities with their villages. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Naphtali, according to their families, the cities and their villages. And the seventh lot came out for the tribe of the children of Dan. So this is the last one now to receive theirs, according to their families or their clans. And the coast of their inheritance was Zorah, and Eshtaol, and Ershemesh, and Sha'al Labin, and Ajalon, and Jethla, and Elon, I guess Elon Musk, named after Elon, and Thimnatha, and Ekron, and Eltika, and Gibbethon, and Ba'alath. These names have sort of fallen out of favor. Nobody calls their child Thimnatha or Ekron. We do have an Elon. And Jehud or Yehud. And Bena Barak. And Gath Rimon. And Majarkon. And Rakon. With the border there before. With the border before Japho. And the coast of the children of Dan went out too little for them. So they're up at the north, Dan up here, but they're saying it's not enough for them. Therefore, the children of Dan went up to fight against Leshem and took it and smote it with the edge of the sword and possessed it and dwelt therein and called Leshem Dan after the name of Dan, their father. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Dan, according to their families, these cities with their villages. And when they had made an end of dividing the land for inheritance by their coasts, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua, the son of Nun, among them. So Caleb was the first. So Joshua and Caleb were the two faithful adults that came into the promised land. All the other adults died in the wilderness. When they came and started to conquer, when Joshua led this massive army to take the land, when that was more or less subdued, then they divided into their tribes and they had to finish the job to take the particular plots of land that were allotted to them. But once they had the upper hand and there was, they did not eliminate completely the Canaanites, but they certainly subdued the land. And Joshua is now old, and God wants to make sure that the land gets allotted before Joshua dies. The first person to receive the first tribe to receive their allotment is Judah. And within that, the first person is Caleb, and then Judah. And then now all the tribes have everybody's received their land, and Joshua, the leader, gets his land last. And so now all the land is divided. But that's, like, to me, just great character. Make sure everybody's looked after first, and then he's looked after. When they've made an end of dividing the land for inheritance by their coasts, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua the son of Nun among them. According to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath-Serah in Mount Ephraim. So Caleb was from Judah, Joshua was from Ephraim. And those are the two power tribes. Those are the two most powerful tribes. That's why the southern kingdom is called Judah and the northern kingdom is called Ephraim. And no doubt Caleb and Joshua had something to do with the reputation of these tribes. So he wanted this city in Mount Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt therein. And so this is interesting that he actually had to build the city and then dwelt therein. So it wasn't quite in the finished state that other cities were. These are the inheritance or the inheritances which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided for an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord. So they did this. So Shiloh was where God had placed his name. Jerusalem is not conquered yet, but they did this at the tabernacle in Shiloh. And you can see the priest was involved, and this was very serious business. And so once this land is allotted, there's no dispute. Ephraim knows what they've got. Manasseh knows the land they've got. Dan, Issachar, Naphtali, they all know their land. And it was a very religious ceremony in carving out the land, the territory, and giving it to them. And so, you know, what we call Israel today is a fraction of the promised land. And I would say God is furious, from my understanding of the scriptures, that there are Gentiles who are saying this is their land, and they're still not happy. Whatever is left to Israel, they're saying from the river to the sea that these people have to be completely eliminated. This is all the agenda of the devil. And ginning up emotion and having people, you know, just people would rather, people who believe in freedom and have Christian influence, they would rather side with Iran and try to rationalize what Iran is doing and excuse Iran and just completely agree that the Jews must be removed and pure criticism for the Jews and apologies for this very, very evil regime. I think evil is an understatement of who and what they are. But all of the criticism is one way. And it's interesting, just before we finish this, I just want to make a comment that people are so incredibly weak. People are so incredibly cowardly that it's a very strange thing that when you have things like 9/11 and October 7, that's when you get the most conversions to Islam. That's when you get Muslims who are moderate who become extreme. And that's when you get Christians converting to Islam because people are weak. And you cannot be Christian and weak. And so we can foresee, just putting two and two together, that much of the world is going to embrace Islam or be sympathetic to Islam, but whatever they do, they're going to surrender to the point of view that the Jews must be destroyed, that the Jews are evil, they must be destroyed, they must be removed from the land, and that is incurring the wrath of God. And when he comes, he's coming to restore his people to their land. First, they're going to use all of this to drive them to repentance. And once they're driven to repentance, he's going to do what he promised to do in the first place. And that is to establish them in the land. And that's why we see it in the final verses of Zechariah, no Canaanite will dwell in Jerusalem. That is like a powerful statement. It's the opposite of everything the future we're heading into is the power of Canaanites and the power of the Canaanite religion and sympathy for the Canaanite cause. So that when Christ comes, he's going to make it very clear, no Canaanite will dwell in Jerusalem forever. It is for his people. So this finishes by saying that in this very religious ceremony, which
Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, very faithful to Moses and the instructions given in the Torah, and the heads of all the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel, divided for an inheritance by lot, though God was involved, in Shiloh, before Jehovah, at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So they made an end of dividing the country. So that brings us to the end of Joshua 19. All the tribes have now received their inheritance, their land. We still need to deal with the cities of refuge. What happens if there's manslaughter and the person didn't mean to kill somebody? How will they deal with that? And what about Levi? What do they get? And then once we finish that, chapters 20 and 21, then we come to the concluding chapters of Joshua. So hopefully that was edifying as we work through this incredible book of Joshua. And we hope that you'll join us on Sabbath, this coming Sabbath. Hopefully you did hear Deacon Jan in his past two-part sermon series on blessing that which is cursed. And so he did a great job just explaining to us what separation theology is and why it matters that we understand it and understand replacement theology, which most of the Church of God, I think, could suffer, be inflicted by this rot that has been in the church and affecting the church from the earliest of times. But then there's something more recent, past few centuries, and that is separation theology or dispensationalism. And we need to understand that as well, because that's creeping in. Everything is working to cause us to be in opposition to God's covenant. And the way that I see the world dividing now and in the future is you're either pro-covenant or anti-covenant. And anti-covenant is not a great place to be. We have to be pro-covenant and pro-gospel. I'd understand the true gospel, not some made-up gospel. So please join us this coming Sabbath. God willing, I'll be giving the sermon this coming Sabbath. And let me just go ahead and check and see if there are any comments that I need to address. And I'll go back and read those comments later. But thank you, Pastor Murray, for putting in the map. And the okay, great, maps are there. That is it. Wonderful. Thank you, Chuck and Judy. Thank you, Sister Rose. Thank you, Sister Rosebud, as well. Thank you so much. Appreciate you and appreciate your faithfulness as well. God works in us in all different ways. Once we find where we're gifted, that's where we need to serve, and we all need each other. Thank you so much, brethren. What a mighty and a faithful God we serve. Hopefully you'll be able to join us this coming Sabbath. God bless you all.